Welcome back to another recorded message coming to you from the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle in London, in England. Now, I'm very conscious that in previous weeks I've moved around too much, and I'm sure that some of you get a bit seasick watching me bounce up and down, so I'm going to try and keep very still. Now, I do hope everybody's well. These are very, very difficult days due to the COVID virus in England. You are allowed to have your church open, but our church has decided that the most responsible thing to do at this time is to close our church so that all of our messages are now online. And again, if you would like to see any of the messages, any of the sermons, any of the live stream services, then please feel free to do that. They are live streamed from our website, which is probably how you got to this message in the first place. So you'd be more than welcome to use that facility. Now, lots of things to do today. I want to tell you that hopefully next week we're going to have a very short quiz. Now, it's difficult to do that because you can't really sort of ask people to put their hands up and answer the questions. But we're going to try a very short quiz just to hopefully encourage you to think very carefully about these things so that you can remember them in the coming week, so that we can ask some questions, only 3 or 4 or 5 questions maybe total, but it'd just be good to see whether you can remember some of the points which were raised. So you've got to remember place names, and you've got to remember some of the numbers with regard to the ages and things like that, which we're going to think about next week, just to see whether you're remembering. Now, what we're going to do this week, we're going to mix it up a little bit, because I'm sure that you don't want to have me speaking all the time. So we're going to think next about our memory verse, and a young lady is going to talk to us about that. And then I'm going to talk to you about the Ten Commandments. And then we've got something really interesting coming up. So I do hope that you'll stay around to listen to that, because it's really interesting. It really encourages us to think about how special creation is. And then we're going to think about the early years of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do stick with us. Thank you very much for listening. And now I'm going to press a couple of buttons and we're going to move on to think about our memory verse. So keep watching. Click, click, click. Let's try and find the right one. And this is it, hopefully. Just put that. Oh no, I've done the wrong one. Done the wrong one. I do apologise. Do apologise. We're going to try again. This is what you call the problems of live television, as it were, sort of. There, just going to press one more button. Okay, sorry about that. There we go.
So here's our memory verse. Often in our lives, we'll have difficult decisions to make. We might be in tricky situations and really not know what to do. And this verse in the Bible just shows us that we should trust in the Lord and not try and work things out for ourselves and muddle through, but we should turn to the Lord, look to his word, see what he's telling us that we should do. So here we go. I hope you're going to repeat this with me and learn it, and maybe you'll have a question on it next week, who knows. So let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now let's take something away. Oops, there it goes. Let's say it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And there we have it, the whole verse. I hope you'll try and remember that. It will be very useful in your life.
Thank you very much. Now then, let's move on. We started looking at last week the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And just a quick reminder that the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel to teach them or to show them how they should behave and live. Because for 400 years, they had lived in slavery. And they did everything that they were told to do by their slave masters. And now, about 1 million people had come out of Egypt and they were having to look after themselves with God's guidance. But we must also be clear that even if we were able to live our lives perfectly, we could still not be right with God, as we were born with sin in our hearts. No one ever had to teach us how to do things wrong. We were born with sin in our hearts. So, looking at number 2 then, the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or an idol. So what can be an idol in our lives that can take the place of where God should be? Now, this is something to think about, isn't it? What can be an idol in our lives? Now, bringing it right up to date, because that's where we are, the phone, a mobile phone, we can give that so much time and attention, can't we? That it pushes out God from where he should be in our lives. Or the Xbox or the games consoles like that. I won't say what I think the latest one is because I always get that wrong. But you know how sometimes something like an Xbox or a PlayStation, they can take such a place in our lives. We can spend so much time on them that they take the place of God. For older people, maybe teenagers, money. Money can be an idol in our lives, or fame, or sport, or music. Even our family sometimes can be something which pushes God out of our lives. And we have to look at our own lives, because it may be something that I've not even mentioned that's become in our life like an idol, something which takes the place of God. And we have to look at our own lives and answer this. Is there anything which takes the place of God in our lives? So think about that. I'm going to move on again to something interesting now.
Over the past weeks, we've been looking at the ways in which we can see God the Creator at work in the design of some of his creation. Recently, we thought about the beauty of birdsong, which we found wasn't necessary to attract a mate, but it was for beauty's sake and a delight for us to enjoy. This week, we're looking at a particular bird and the way in which God has enabled it to achieve amazing feats. And that bird is the Pacific Golden Plover. There it is. Now, this bird spends the summer above the Arctic Circle in Alaska. Now, you can imagine it's very cold up there, so they only stay there in the summer. This bird is about the size of a dove, so it weighs around 230 grams, or half a pound. The birds lay 4 to 5 eggs, and those eggs hatch in around 24 to 26 days. And the chicks, oh, that's sweet, isn't it? The chicks are able to feed themselves straight away. By the time they're 4 to 5 weeks old, they start to practice their flying. Now, it's at this point, as the weather becomes cooler, that the adult birds leave the chicks and migrate south to Hawaii for the winter. Here we have a map. Now, over here is the United States. Over this side is Japan. Up the top here is Alaska, and right down here is Hawaii. Now, that's a distance of over 3,000 miles. Now, something to take note of is that plovers can't swim. You might think all birds can swim, but they can't. Plovers can't swim. And there's no land between Alaska and Hawaii. So the plovers have to fly without stopping until they reach Hawaii. This is around an 88-hour journey. That's 3 days and 4 nights. And they have to take that journey without stopping. How do these birds manage this long journey, you may well ask? Before they leave Alaska, they must eat a lot to ensure that they put on energy, put on weight and have the energy to make the flight. So they gain around 70 grams, which is almost a third of their body weight. Any more weight and they'd be too heavy to fly. But it's estimated that a bird will lose about a gram in weight for every hour's flying. So with only 70 grams of extra weight, how are they going to manage that 88-hour flight? Well, God has made them to fly in a V-shaped formation. You may well have looked up at the sky and seen geese flying like that. And the way it works is that the air, moved by the wingtips of the bird in front, produces an upward flow just inside and behind it, so that the birds immediately behind are lifted and don't have to do so much work, and so can save some energy. This works for all the birds right back of the formation. So after a while, the birds change places so that the bird at the front doesn't get too tired. And that's how they make it all the way back down to Hawaii. Now, what about those chicks left behind in Alaska? Well, they've been spending this time eating, gaining weight, practicing their flying, and then comes the time for them to join the adults in Hawaii, which they do, arriving at the exact same location. But how do they know where to go? That's something that even today, scientists are still puzzling over. Clearly, God has built something into the birds to enable them to do these remarkable things. I hope you enjoyed that. Very interesting.
Thank you very much indeed. Now we're going to move on. We're going to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, his early years, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 to help us through this. Now, the period between the Lord Jesus Christ being a very young baby and when he was roughly 12 years of age, we know very little other than this one verse, and this is taken from Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, wouldn't it be nice if each one of us could say that that applied to us? And wouldn't it be good if we could say that it applied to our children, that we were growing in grace and wisdom? But we don't actually know what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. We might like to form a little picture in our mind. What did he do? Did he go to school? Did he play out with his friends? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, so it's not really a great use of our time to think about these things. What we do know in detail is when the Lord Jesus Christ was about 12 years of age, what happened then? Now, yet again, I've put a little splodge over the artist's impression of what he thought that the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. That's a personal thing maybe, but I choose to do that. Now, Mary and Joseph and their family were very godly and religious people, and they followed the religious requirements of that day. Now, our picture shows the family traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, don't forget, I did say that there might be some questions next week. Maybe you might just want to remember the word Passover. We're going to think about the Passover in a few weeks' time because it's a very interesting part of the history of the children of Israel. But back to now, they were traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem to visit the temple. Now, the Bible tells us when it was time to go home that the Lord Jesus Christ lingered. Now that's a lovely word, isn't it? Lingered. But what does it mean? It means to hang back or to remain or to delay. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He wasn't messing about, but he did hang back from the others. He hung back because he had work to do. Now, because the family were traveling in a large group of people, it took some time for Mary and Joseph to realize that the Lord Jesus wasn't with them. And they asked around and they couldn't find him. So they had to retrace their steps back to Jerusalem and back to the temple. There they are in the temple trying to find the Lord Jesus. Now they did find him, and they found him talking to the religious teachers of the time. Now you'll notice that most of those religious teachers looked like old men, and they were, because they had spent a long time in the temple reading and studying, and they knew what they were talking about. And they came as, when they were speaking to the Lord Jesus, they were surprised at how much he knew and how wise he was. Now we must always remember this. that the Lord Jesus was truly man, but also he was truly God. Now that is so hard to understand, but it is the truth. Now, when Mary and Joseph caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were really distressed and they started to tell the Lord Jesus Christ off. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to them this, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Poor Mary and Joseph, they had so much to think about. They were raising the Son of God, and he was obviously going to be so different. Now Mary, particularly, the Bible tells us that she kept all of these things in her heart. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 is a lovely verse, and it tells us this: "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men." So the Lord Jesus Christ got wiser, he got bigger, and he grew in favour with God and with men. Now in some ways, it's quite easy to find favour with men. We can be good, we can be kind, and we can work hard. And if we do those sort of things, most people will get on with us and we will find favour with them. But how can we find favour with God? Sin blocks our relationship with God. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who makes it possible for us to have peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ came, as we thought about a few weeks ago, he came as a baby, and then we can see him growing up, and soon after these events, which are depicted in this picture, the Lord Jesus Christ started his ministry, and we're going to think about that next week and the week after. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to do a particular job. He came to take upon himself the punishment of our sins. All the wrong which we've done, all the wrong things, all the things which we haven't done, putting God first, putting God first in our lives, all these things, all that sin, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself all that punishment so that we might have peace with God, because God loves us so much. 15 weeks ago, the very first memory verse which we thought about, "For God so loved the world." He so loved us that he wanted to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for the punishment of our sin. And if we really, really are sorry for our sins, if we really, really put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our way of forgiveness, then we can have peace with God. How special is that? How we should really want that. How we should really try and ask God to help us to understand these things so that we might have peace with him. We're going to pray now. O Lord our God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord God, that you may help us, O Lord, to understand these things. Help us to realize our need to have our sins forgiven. Lord, bless us now. Be with us. Keep us safe, we do pray. Watch over us, Lord God, we would ask. And we do pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So we're going to leave this screen up now for a few moments. If you do need to make contact with us or want to make contact, then those are the the ways of doing that. Thank you so very much for listening. We do pray that you may be blessed by these messages and that you may think about them and that you may keep safe and watch over your loved ones. Take care. Bye-bye for now.